This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I had to drum out that frustration, get down a little bit. That's Mudfoot and the Basement Boys, if you're interested. Anyway, thank you for tuning in and listening. I have several topics I want to share with you, and just some things that old news, good news, and bad news, and new news. But it's just coincidence that I had set up and planned to talk about in today's paper. There's a matter about the bottle bill, and we've been working on something regarding the bottle bill, and the actual, not much to do with the bottle bill itself, but the use and the dumping of the glass and how you and I, the consumer, is supposed to be paying for this and this costly recycling to save the, quote, environment and enhance employment and what have you. And we'll find, I'll share with you, a great bit of that tonnage, maybe hundreds of tons of crushed glass is laying out in the field. And we'll talk about that. Your tax dollars and all this fancy thing about recycling, it's just not happening, folks. But anyway, that's just one. And we're going to talk about the homeless issue, and I see today there's a front page, and mine was more directed at what is happening with the U.S. vets. And there's a program with the U.S. vets and the YWCA. And we talked about it. This is the same effort that gave the folks there, the constituents, or the what do we call them? People that are receiving their services, clients, we'll call them, were given handkerchiefs and backpacks that says, had an email address, says homelessness, I guess. And you're supposed to take that and go out and shop for a job with it and what have you. Very demeaning, and we talked about the big ad that was in the advertiser, the Star Advertiser, a while back, and the governor attended the nice champagne brunch with the grilled shrimp, and the reality is, it's these programs, the quote homeless shelters, are nothing more than a place where money is poured and a few people, and each one of them have some questionable behavior, and they all seem to rise to the occasion of the Jesse Jackson Jr. buying the $43,000 gold watch. It's similar to that. I noticed that there was this gentleman, Daryl Vincent, whom I have reached out to him, and he has refused. But I got to share with you what I've gotten back through other sources from him is that he's not afraid of the Carol Cox Show because he deals with bigger media. And so that's fine and dandy. But I just have one question for all of these dudes that run around and find their way to the top in running these agencies and ask them, where is their compassion? Where is their concern with their image? And when I was a little boy growing up, there was always a picture of Jesus wearing a robe and sandals. And it's always been shared with me that he took care of the afflicted, the sick, the poor. But one thing I noticed in not any of those pictures that were depicting Jesus in his role, he never had a three-piece suit on, and he never had a gold watch. So I'm trying to figure out where these dudes come from when they claim that they care for the people and that they're doing godly work, and yet they got to get a three-piece suit on. It just doesn't shuck and jive. And so the way I see it, and I'm privy to detailed information on the ongoings in these facilities, that three-piece suit that they wear is representative of the real mindset. It is an opportunity or an occasion for us as citizens, as taxpayers, who know that our tax dollars is going to fund some of these facilities, but how does one digest or find it palatable to look at a COO of a company, and we got people living on the bridges, veterans living on the bridges, and it's called the U.S. Vets. Now, I know you can't rescue everyone, but some of the things that we'll talk about in this that I've been I've received letters and I've spoken, and some of the people that were clients or are clients of the U.S. Vets have spoken on this show and expressed some concerns that they were just used as a photo opportunity. So I believe this three-piece suit mentality, rising to the occasion. You're not Steve Jobs. You're not producing anything. You are short-stopping. You're finding federal monies, U.S. grants, and donations from other entities. And you're in turn rising to the top, placing yourself in these positions. You take, for example, the Waikiki Health Center. As I talked about, somehow Jason, I think of his name, his dad's a senator, Espero. The expertise that he has in running a shelter for people have less fortunate or what have you, how did he get that job? It's that three-piece suit mentality that is why we see that it's really not working. And I would be ashamed to approach anyone. And I know you got to look good and smell good and get a gold watch for $43,000 to impress upon the people that you're stealing from that you're in control. I don't know if it's – that's just my take on it. But it's a really ugly presentation of what really goes on. And when we see – people living on the bridges, people living on the sidewalks, people living and not being able to eat. And we got guys with three-piece suits calling themselves a COO of this facility. And then they are embraced by the veterans. And speaking about the veterans, they're embraced by the Veterans Administration, who hands money over the shoulder as if it's the war on poverty, but they don't want to be the ones in the front line. So give it to the guy with the three-piece suit on. And then you short-stop. I'm learning that in this facility at the YWCA, at that combination thing there, the U.S. Vets Program, while the governor, Neil Abercrombie, Kimberly Pine City Council / State Representative went there with others and were served grilled shrimp and had a cadre of handlers or food handlers or busboys from the facility of the, and they were there serving. But I know firsthand, folks, that while Governor Neil Abercrombie and Kimberly Pine were there eating shrimp grilled on the barbie, the people in that facility are eating meat that has expiration dates that exceeds 3 months. So, again, the governor got his photo op. Colin Kippen had his name mentioned. We talk about how good it is. And then to add insult to injury, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard found her way there, smiling. If you go to the U.S. Vets Program on the Internet and look at their website, you'll see Daryl Vincent, COO. Now, mind you, he may have been able to go into the rack and get a three-piece suit out of there on the donor's box and put it to found some good clothing there. I don't know. But it is the image. And when you find that you're feeding people expired dates of meat in 3 months, then you're missing something. There's something wrong. And by the way, there's some kind of strange hanky-panky going on, I'm told, and concerns that a couple of clients had contacted the Honolulu Star Advertiser, Marsha McFadden, last week to ask her and share with her some of the problems they were experiencing at this facility at the YWCA. And McFadden kind of brushed it off and poo-pooed it. And then just days later, you see this full spread of Darryl Vincent of the U.S. Vets in the front and the page of Insight. The chief operating officer of U.S. Vets helped military veterans down on their luck. Well, that's a nice way of putting it, but how about they're not down on the luck. Most of the veterans that I see that find themselves drinking or on drugs or held up in a house and the SWAT team is circling it is because they didn't have bad luck. They were exposed to situations that you and I would probably put our heads in the blender because we couldn't deal with it. They're not suffering from bad luck. They're are simply the question then is that advertiser wouldn't listen to the constituents of Darryl Vincent, wouldn't print their story because they say it's not newsworthy. And then you see days later a full 2 pages basically on 2 pages where there's a big picture and what have you. And won't print the issues that the clients raise. Now, it's their prerogative, and I mean, the same thing goes to this show. I can select what, but it's rather strange when you go out there and you take a picture and you have a big story, and in that story where the governor and you like it's rubbing the underbelly of some monster or something to tickle him, but you print those articles. And everybody's happy, and then you find that the people that are featured in those articles are upset and asking you to retract the pictures and what have you, and you tell them no. And then when you are receiving more information that this facility is having some problems or the way they're treating their clients, and you tell them no, it's not newsworthy, and then days later you have a full spread on the COOO. Now, I have my suspicions, but I'll leave them at the doorsteps because you really don't want to know what I really think about this one. But to feed people, and Governor Neil Abercrombie, I know now that they all listen to the show because they're hoping that I don't say something that I'm going to say this. It's an insult to humanity. It's an assault on our common decency that you can arrive at a facility that is meant to lift people out of a predicament that they found themselves in, and they need help, and we get that help. And I can't believe that you could stuff your face with a barbecue grill tiger prawn and wash it down with a nice swig of champagne or whatever is served in the champagne glasses, and then just feet away is a refrigerator with meat that has expired dates on it. Not just a couple of days, but months. That is troubling. Now, I know that we talk about the homeless, and I've read something where someone says, oh, they're just drunkards and drug addicts and blah, blah, blah. The reality is that some of that could be true because you take the whole spectrum of things, and yes, human beings are human beings, and let's allow for that. But here's the problem. What about the people on top who shovel monies? And I heard that there was some $28 million in this fund, I guess nationwide, to fund this program. So this guy, Daryl Vincent, I received a complaint that was just filed by one of the clients. And let me set this up now. And this was one of those things that the clients attempted to contact the advertiser and share with them. And that is, the clients that work, that live and reside and participate in this program or beneficiaries of this program at the YWCA, they were approached by one of the workers there, or administrators we'll call them, at the facility, that YWCA. And she then, this is the complaint, is making these claims. The administrator, one of the staff members for the U.S. Vets, goes and contact the people, the clients, and tell them, or they're describing as being directed, to go to on a Saturday or on a weekend day to accompany her to a private church on Waikamilo. Nothing to do with the U.S. Vets program now. Nothing. This is what this complaint is claiming. And that the administrator or the staff of the U.S. Vets went to Barbers Point, picked up a car that is owned by the U.S. Vets, and she drives that car back downtown to pick up the clients at this facility. And then drives them to the church, a private church, nothing to do with, and proceed to direct these clients to work and hang clothes and sort through clothes and prepare things to be sold at a mega garage sale by this church. And in turn, they worked, I'm told, 4 or 5 hours, and this complaint is claiming this. And they are then taken back to the facility. But a couple days later, this complaint is claiming that that same staff member and others, the clients, have the occasion or the opportunity to go to Barbers Point from downtown to Barbers Point to the U.S. Vets and rummage through boxes of donated clothes that they can use. And so they were instructed they would have to drive themselves to this facility and select through the clothes and then return themselves, and some of them had to transport other clients. Now, why is it that this kind of behavior can go on under the watchful eye of the COO with the three-piece suit on? And this complaint goes on to say that this complainant was made to believe and feel that they don't share the Christian belief like the others do or like that staff person, and they believe that it was a violation of their civil rights and being forced to go to a church and work. And they expressed concerns that the vehicle and the equipment and the clients were being used to assist a church. Yet, when it came to actually participating in a program and receiving benefits and going to Barbara's Point, they had to drive themselves. I'm not saying anything to demean this gentleman, Daryl Vincent of the U.S. Vets. But what I will say is that I have learned that when it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, then it must be there's foul play here, folks. The governor, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, Colin Kippen, Kimberly Pine. I don't know if you'll get a queasy stomach from this, but hearing this, I from eating those barbecue shrimp and wild and drinking the champagne and what have you. But I would hope, like the Dickens, that you somewhere in your heart you feel sickened, that you would allow that and you would participate, all because you get to do a photo op. And you get to post these people's pictures, and you've gone there to show the facility, and they're eating meat that has expired, the deadline, or whatever you call it, the expiration date. Meat now. I'm not talking about corn or cookies. That's a different subject. And you know that a lot of this material is a lot of food bank stuff, and just because it has an expiration date is not a problem in some instances. But here's the problem. You're feeding the congressman, or I don't know if Gabbard was there to eat the shrimp. I want to make sure I don't say the wrong thing, but I do know the governor and Kimberly Pine and Colin Kippen were there. They were there, and some people from the military and wearing the uniforms and what have you. Now, I'm also told that there's a situation that developed that took place there at the U.S. Vets facility at YWCA downtown. There's a young lady who is a reservist military person, Army, and she has been activated to attend some kind of training there at Bellows Airfield. She's a client at that facility, and in turn, now I've gotten it from a couple of sources, so I tried to piece it together. But they told her, because of the rules that exist, she has to check out of the facility. She'll be gone for about 15 or so days. That's what I'm told. But she'd have to check out and deploy and go to Bellows for the active duty session. And then that would, in essence, leave her homeless, and then she might be able to get back into the program. And this party was distraught, it's described. But you would think that in this process, this homeless situation, that the solution is having the U.S. vets and should be operating a little better. I pulled up some papers, and you heard me talk about the Leeward benefit package, landfill benefit package, where there's some hoo-hoo going on with the monies. The U.S. vets received monies from the Leeward benefit package, community benefit package. That's related to the landfill. Hanneman set that up. And they allowed that money to lapse. I have letters that talks about that. But again, this gentleman, Mr. Darrell Vincent, as he say, and I applaud him, you're right, you've dealt with bigger media. But they tell stories, and I tell the facts, and I tell the truth. And my truth has a little bit of taint in it, because I'm compassionate about when it's affecting people. And when I see people walking around with three-piece suits on, whining and dining the governor and putting on a front and having, parking set aside and valet parking, and you're feeding people months-old meat that have expired, I'm of the belief that you don't care. And again, it's something that you just can't believe. For example, here is recently the picture. Meat was December 2012, and they were serving, and it expired. That's the expiration date on it. And they were eating it as recent as 2 days ago. or even today, maybe. Luncheon meat. Now, I've stood at the landfill and observed companies dump hundreds or thousands of pounds of meat that have had expiration dates and weren't so far back. And yet, here, while the governor eats barbecue shrimp that Daryl Vincent put together and have valet parking and drinks out of champagne glasses, he's now feeding the clients there food with expired dates. No shame. Maybe he should go back and look in the picture that his grandmother gave him of Jesus, and he would see amongst that crowd were no three-piece suits. And it's a sad commentary, my friend. It really is. And I know this doesn't fit into the scheme of things, the general discussion about homelessness and some of them need to be there because they're lazy and dumb and drunk and what have you. I'm telling you the reason we see, and not all of it, but a great portion of it, is that we got people like Jesse Jackson Jr. who gets in, going to help the people, and buys a $43,000 watch. And then we get a Daryl Vincent whose whole point apparently is to rub elbows with the bigwigs and get the title of COO and get another three-piece suit. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. What you were saying is so right on. I mean, down that first Next Step shelter, that's exactly what was going on. I mean, that Jason, the coordinator, he was a well dresser too, and you know, and he drove a Lexus. He seemed to be doing quite well, thank you. And mm-hmm. And not only that, here's it's the whole mentality of these things. You know, I don't know if you ever got in. I guess you never were able to even get into that thing because of confidentiality at shelter to look around. But the management, the coordinator, they get to be a nice air conditioned trailer like thing office. And it's above all of us. They look down below at us. Mm-hmm. The whole arrangement they have in there is, I mean, and listen to this one. This is what you wonder about. It's so demeaning. In order to use the bathroom, we have to go pull toilet paper off of rolls right in front of the staff. Everybody, kind of an embarrassing thing. And you'll get scolded if you take too much. You know, you pull it. but they have their private staff bathroom, well supplied with toilet paper, paper towels, soap, the whole works, mm-hmm. nice and clean and smells like a rose. We get these awful bathrooms, or mm-hmm. you know, I mean, sometimes they're terrible. They're dirty and no toilet paper, no paper towels, no hand soap. We have to provide that out of our own whatever. We have to bring our own soap. We have to bring our own towel and everything like that. And tell me that's not. You were talking about the expired food and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This would happen on a regular basis. You know, all these groups are these charity groups, mostly churches. First thing they would do is they'd come in there and they would preach to you. In some ways, they were pretty much saying you were in sin for being homeless. They do it in a subtle way. I mean, you're poor. There's something wrong with you. So then it must mean you aren't paying attention to the Bible or whatever. And then they'd have their group that would sing, and then they have these preachers. And then the intercom system of the going full blast. You're trying to eat dinner in front of all this, and you can't even talk. You can't even converse with your fellow homeless people. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to, you know, I don't think there was a week that went by where this is some really bad food. I taste some of it, and I just spit it out. I couldn't eat it. Mm-hmm. And it was tainted. And then all of a sudden, a lot of people would start vomiting. They go have to use the bathroom. You know, they have the runs and everything. You know,
because they got to predict that they're going to need the toilet paper early, huh?
Well, yeah.
God forbid if you got sick and unscheduled, unannounced. What would you do then?
It's
morning radio, but you don't have to tell me.
Yeah, well, you have to go up and pull off the damn toilet paper off the, mm-hmm. and then you have to go to the bathroom. Right? Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. These people are so unconnected that are in charge. They love their three-piece suits. kind of mentality is what I'm saying. That Darlene, she was the biggest, they're all about public relations.
Right.
Making it look good, and they're like, we're really helping out. And see, that's what really made us sick. Mm-hmm. Here, this is Jason Sparrow, the son of the senator Willis Sparrow, and he was running for office. He was running for city council. Why he was supposed to be doing this job too?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
How do you do that? And then he makes a video for his campaign. Oh, I'm so good! I right inside the shelter. Mind you, we are not allowed to take photographs or videos or anything in that shelter because of confidentiality. Mm-hmm. But how can he do that, you know? Well, I mean, the hypocrisy is terrible.
It's the photo opportunity. And I want people to listen and hear me clearly. It's their prerogative. If you want to wear a three-piece suit, that's fine. I'm being kind of foul-mouthed about it, one might think. But it's consistent with the other uglies about that, in that if you're wearing a three-piece suit, you're not going to get your hands dirty, apparently, and you're not dang sure not going to eat the day-old meat or the three-month-old meat that expect expiration date, and you're not going to want – why is it that you would want your picture standing there with a nice three-piece suit on and a tie and what have you, but then turn the camera and get the site where the guy has unkept – and unclean, you know, and bags hanging off his shopping cart. That's what you need, you see. And then move back and you see the COO. And then you see the governor over there sucking down shrimp.
Oh, yeah. Another one. I'm down there, the next step. Jason and the management down there, they would send for pizzas on a regular basis. And they'd be out. Sometimes they'd be out there just drop me down a nice delivered pizzas mm-hmm. in front of us. Mind you, we don't get that. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get that. They get to do, it reeks of you know, you guys are you and we are we, you know.
We're somebody and you're nobody.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, somehow they miss it. Even as far back as I can recall, if I had friends visiting my house when we were children and my mother had something that she wanted to share with us, she would wait until the children leave, because if she didn't have enough to share, then she wouldn't give us any either. You understand?
Right.
It's that feeling, and there's something about the human spirit that can be offended, not by having things said or physically done, but just the image. And so how do you help uplift people when you're behaving as if, stay your distance, don't touch me, don't get close to me, you know, treat them over there and have a regime where it's militaristic in a sense. And then the bigwigs come in. Now, one of the things what I've learned from this, a couple of clients over this facility, that if you file a complaint with who is General Sinseki, they tell the clients they don't want to know what you got to say. They got bigger things to be dealing with.
Oh, yeah. You're just
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Oh yeah, well they forever don't have time for to listen to your complaints.
Yeah.
And and even you try to call them voicemails and they don't get back to you. They, mm-hmm. You call and you call and you call,
mm-hmm.
and then their excuse is, "Oh, we're way really busy." Why they're busy chomping down their pizza? And that kind of thing is what they're busy doing.
Well, as long as we have people like Kimberly Pine, city councilwoman now, that are eager to run there with the Daryl Vincents at their beckoning call to come for a photo op. And then the very people that they're going to stand there and make themselves look politically good and astute can't reach these people. You know, you talk to Tulsi Gabbard's office, for example. The standard practice is you got to sign a waiver that you want them to represent you or ask questions. But the bottom line is they're not going to ask any questions on your behalf. It's going to be the same business as ever, you know. But if there's an opportunity to be surrounded by people that are not successful, and she's and the governor and Daryl Vinson and others are giving a helping hand. Oh, that's a good picture, right?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, the governor. You hear? Oh, listen to this one. The next step. When the governor was announcing his 90-day plan and all this stuff, and all this stuff, he comes down to the next step shelter. Listen to this. Darlene orders. Oh, about $300 worth of plant, or these palm trees in pots, you know, to mm-hmm. make it look like a photo opportunity, you know.
Right.
And the governor gets up there and makes a big speech about how we're really going to help the homeless now, you know, blah, 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 and that kind of stuff, you know. And, of course, let's see. Anyway, the whole thing was really, it was phony.
Yeah.
You know, and why wasn't that $300? Why was that $300 going for potted plants?
Now, why? Potted plants. But you know, also this some of these clients of this YWCA program, that incident with the church, would share with me that they had to stand there and were given flyers and pamphlets. They had to stand there and pass out religious materials. Now, this is federal government-funded program using clients to promote a church.
Yeah.
And to serve in a church function.
Yeah.
You follow? Now, is it a big deal? Maybe not to some of them. Maybe it was good work, and maybe these people needed to be exposed to some Christianity. Who knows what kind of mentality was going on? But the reality is, you cannot continue to practice these and behave in this fashion, and then turn around and say, "Well, you know, the real problem is drugs and addiction and sexual problems and what have you," when the reality is it's a system that has people that have really need to look in the mirror at themselves.
Oh yeah.
And understand, are they going, I noticed something, like Steve Jobs, do you notice I never saw him in a three-piece suit, even when he was making an introduction of his great gadgets that he then developed and invented, right?
Oh, that's right. Blue jeans and
and those people that he's appealing to got money, man. They got houses. They got houses built in trees, in the canopy in Costa Rica. And they can fly on jets and all that, right?
Yeah.
Now, if they don't, and what's the guy with Microsoft, Bill Gates? You look at him. So why is it that my brother have to go out there and put a three-piece suit on and feed the governor shrimp and champagne in a glass?
It doesn't fit. It doesn't.
I'm sorry. You can throw rocks at me or say that I'm the worst person on the planet, but I can tell you what. Enough already. When people that is supposed to have the interests of people, human beings, that have had whatever, they're not just down on the luck. I mean, and you know, when down on the luck, I mean, come on, this is not Vegas. Life isn't you had a slot machine and you got unlucky. Things could have happened, right?
Oh, sure.
And tell me about it. I mean, there's a gentleman here right now. Well, I take that back. Linwood Parker. He died there in September under the bridge at Nimitz. I went over there and looked and was trying to find some. His brothers are located in Norfolk, Virginia, or Portsmouth, Virginia. And I've been trying, and I got a call last night, frantic call, from his girlfriend that they've taken his body now and cremated it, and there's no chance now to try. But I can imagine if we really cared, if the governor had some time and Kimberly Pine had some time and Tulsi Gabbard had some time, really not the better photo opportunity would be standing at Hickam Air Force Base helping find this gentleman's home and announcing that this veteran who was Purple Heart and 13 awards, right? And they're standing there, and there's this big smile, the gathering of the other high-ranking officials in the military and what have you, that they're putting this man on the plane, his body, to ship him back because he served his country. But instead, he died on the Nimitz Highway.
Oh, yeah. It's a crime. That's a crime.
Yeah.
Here we do. We're taking. We're having these soldiers risk their life and limb.
Yeah.
And then we're and we'll give you a medal or two. But then by the way, sucker, you're on your own. Huh?
Yeah, you're on your own. You know, and so for those of you out there that believe that what I'm saying is wrong and what I'm characterizing Darryl Vincent is wrong and the governor's wrong, so be it. I can tell you, I would kiss the governor's feet if I were to see him walk through Nimitz Highway.
Oh, yeah.
And looking and for that photo opportunity to lift a hand of, I'd give anything to Darryl Vincent, if he took the time and went out there and spent his time there with coveralls on, really trying to work. I understand one of his top people in aides in the system have relapsed and gone back to drugs, and they've had 16 people to relapse, right? And yet, where is he getting the money from? This is a government-funded program. Mickey Mouse can do it. Apparently. But anyway, let me get this other call.
Can I just say one last comment?
Yeah, help yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's another good example of what was happening at that Next Step shelter. We were trying to get the midweek newspaper that comes out, that has all the advertisements for the grocery stores and that sort of stuff. And do you think they would allow that? Because, we were saying, listen, these are poor people, they could use the ads and the coupons and the thing in the midweek, and we couldn't get the new midweek people to bring it in. But I said, Jason, just make a call down there, and they'll understand, and they'll deliver them because they just take them to mailing addresses and that. So, they wanted to charge 50 cents a piece for them. And so I said, well, Jason, why don't you contribute about $20? I'm going to get about 40 copies. I can't do that. I said, well, okay, I'll have $20 out of my own pocket. Well, we won't allow them to be in here. Right. I mean, unbelievable. Anyway, I'll let you go.
Okay, I'll be on in the next hour.
Yeah, sure.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay.
You there? Hello?
Steve.
Hi, good. Go ahead, Em.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I have a few minutes. Go ahead, or you want to call back in the next hour?
I can call back on the next hour.
Okay, just feel free to do that. But you have something now you want to...
Yeah, I say, what more can we do for the homeless people? We give them money. We give them a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to camp, they can pay $10. Like everybody else,
mm-hmm.
for a week or two.
Yeah, that might help for a little bit, and then
I can hardly hear you.
Oh, my. Okay. Yeah, you can hear me now, are you?
I guess Mr. Abercrombie didn't know that the meat was 3 months old.
And he would never ask either.
You're telling him. Now he knows, so he will look into that.
I hope so, Em. Okay. I'm hoping that he will.
Yeah, I think he will. And now they have bathrooms to use. Mm-hmm. What more can we do for the people of Hawaii?
Right.
Everybody's helping. Even you're helping by telling us about the 3-month-old meat.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll hopefully they don't get fed that. But
maybe that was a mistake, or maybe it's okay to eat out of date. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No, it wasn't a mistake. It was
a deliberate.
Yeah,
get rid of the old meat, feed it to the poor people.
Yeah, it wasn't a mistake. It was
people like to do that to other people.
It was just an old steak, not a mistake.
Yeah, they said, like the story, they say, oh, the donut, sell them anyway. And here comes the customer. This thing is old.
Mm-hmm. And
I don't want it.
Yeah, well, just keep in mind, expired dates are in some instances is okay, I guess, in some instances, whatever it is. But when you're feeding the governor and the city councilwoman grilled shrimp on the Barbie and drinking
maybe the shrimp was 3 old too.
No, I can assure you. I can assure you the people up at those levels don't eat day old shrimp. They don't do that, or month old shrimp.
They wouldn't know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
You sauce them up with some spices.
Well, maybe he did that, but I very seriously doubt it. But anyway, we're going to get off this one and come back in the next hour.
Later on.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, anyway, just to put it there on the table, people constantly, there's expired dates on foods and what have you. But when it comes to meat, and the bigger picture of the point that I'm stressing is that, how can you wine and dine the governor and the city council and have the congresswoman and all of those people and people from the VA coming in there and eating the high on the hog and you're feeding the people in the program expired food? Anyway, we'll be back in the next hour. CarolCox.com is the website. We'll see you.
Sad fate, he who lay down at the rich man's gate, he begged for the crumbs from the rich man to eat, but they left him to die like a tramp on the street. He was some mother's darling. He was some mother's son. Once he was fed, once he was young, some mother rocked him, her little baby to sleep, but they left him to die like a tramp on the street. To lie down, bread from your floor, would you welcome him?
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
When it rains 5 days and the skies turn dark at night. When it rains 5 days and the skies turn dark at night. Then trouble taking place in the lowlands at night. I woke up this morning, can't even get out of my door. I woke up this morning, can't even get out of my door. There's enough trouble to make a poor girl wonder where she wanna go. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. I packed all my clothes, sewed them in, and they rolled me along. When it thundered the lightning and the wind began to blow. When it thunders in lightning and the wind begins to blow. There's thousands of people ain't got no place to go. Then I went and stood up on some high old lonesome hill. Then
it's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Yeah, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Miss Bessie Smith, it ain't going to rain when it rains. Anyway, just going to touch on a little bit about the homeless issues and the concerns. Supposedly there's this new bill that's going through in city council. And if I don't have this accurately, please feel free to call and correct me or set me straight or give the clearer side of it. But somewhere I'm told that there's, to get your things back, if the government seizes it or removes it, city workers remove it, to get it back, it'll be $200. And if you had $200, you'd probably have a better tent if you're living on the sidewalk. So it's some of the things that – and I just didn't follow up on this, but up there when they seize things, they take the materials. And I got a call from a city worker. And Halava Yard up there in the facility, they store, when they seize things, they store them in these green and gray trash plastic that you see at the regular, at the homes. And what I'm told is that the workers rummage through, the city workers rummage through those materials and scavenge and take it for themselves. Now, mind you, this is the same area that told me about the Maile stream and all of the other things at the tip-offs, and they were bothered by that, and that the city workers were able to go through these things and take whatever they want, and these things are never returned, rarely returned to the homeless people whom it's taken from. So things are really just playing out to be, as some of you might say, maybe it's the end of the world. It is for those that are homeless, and because we're all looking forward and doing our thing and feeling good and looking good and smelling good. And while I saw that article this morning, and I don't know if I'm not a journalist per se, but maybe it's a way of talking where they mentioned the guy collecting urine in his in a jug, and then even also talked about him having some dollar value or thinking that there was some value to feces, human feces being sold. I read that and I thought, so why don't you just call him? Just say he's insane, and tell us how weird that sounds, and that he urinates in it to top it off occasionally. And the reality is, what you should do instead of telling us how often he pisses in the jug, you should tell us, the story should tell us how all of us should be pissed off at our government for allowing someone to live on the streets. So I guess in this saying, it would be better to be pissed on than pissed off. I don't know what it is, but again, it's just crazy, and I think that the real talk and the real writing, the stories should be, the newspapers should start hammering, stop covering the stories and making these guys look good. There are no COOs when people are starving and sick and injured and can't get medication and living on the streets and living in the elements. There can't be any COOs. There can't. Because if it was a COO of a company, the company would go out of business unless Obama would bail him out. Well, maybe that's what he's already getting. The VA got $28 million for this homeless veterans program, but apparently that would be the Obama bailout. But the reality is, all we get in the newspaper is a lowly city council person sits there and tells us he's going to get $77 more million to do this and do that. It's always money. We're going to fix it with money. I'd just like to see one day where the full city council go and not put yourself in that position with the people, but to go out there and don't take pictures with them. Go out there and show and share some compassion with them. Take them some fresh fruit. Take them something. And then tell us what you're going to do. And if we can arrive at that, I think there's a solution. But right now, you can bring in the Colin Kippens, you can bring in the Czars, and you can bring in the Alexanders, the Greats, and all of those people. But as long as you have newspapers that won't tell the story of the clients or the constituents of these so-called programs, but you'll tell how great the program operator is, then something's missing. That we need to pull our own coattails and ask that question. How is it that we can arrive at this point? So anyway, that's just me talking now. And like I say, half of what I say is probably wouldn't fly in the eye of a journalist because mine is tainted because I care. So, you know, and you shouldn't let your personal opinions show in, quote, journalism. But you can tell people that people are urinating in pots and bottles to sell it and save it, when in fact you should be screaming, and every word after that should have been, where in the heck is the government with this? How do we have people on the street thinking like this? They need help. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol, again.
All right.
I was at the hearing where they were considering the bill for be able to confiscate tents and possessions. Mind you, without due process, so the way they have it now is, you know, they'll tag your tent and your possessions, and they give you a chance to move them. But now the one that they're proposing now is they're going to, how do they put it? If it looks like a nuisance, they're going to take away your stuff. How is that not thievery by the city sanctioned thievery, really? Like you said, they're going through your stuff and they're going to find, oh, look at, there's a valuable thing. I'm going to take that. And, I can't tell you how many tarps have been stolen from us, from my wife. In the park, you know, and I mean they weren't just told to take them down. They just took them. Mm-hmm. But what gets to me is okay. Let's see. That was, we had at a hearing. There was about 14 of us that testified against this bill. There was only one person that testified for it, it looks like every darn one of those council people are going to, it's still going through the process, but are going to be for basically taking, I mean, most of these possessions are survival gear, basic survival gear. That's your tent is your shelter to stay out of the elements at night so you don't get, you don't freeze to death and from getting rained on and all that. Mm-hmm. And then basically that you have maybe a backpack or something, which you have your clothes, you have your medications. A lot of people have their medications, and you have your IDs, anything that would be maybe give you a chance to get out of this situation. And they're going to take those, and then they're going to charge you $200. How I mean, why do you think they're there in the first place? They don't have $200, you know? How many of them are going to have $200 so that they can get this stuff out of them? And so these people are going to have to, they're going to be stripped bare. They're going to have to figure out a way to sleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to have to get just the basic survival stuff. And like I said, a lot of these people are totally broke. And the only way they're making a little money is collecting cans and bottles and making, $5-10 if they're lucky. Now that's a lot of hard, dirty work. Plus, people will actually fight over garbage cans, because they say, that's my garbage can, you know. I've seen that. I've seen people getting a fight over a garbage can for cans and bottles. They consider that their territory, and you better not take my garbage can, you know, where they retrieve cans and bottles, you know. Mm-hmm. And this one fellow at the hearing said, listen, council people, I invite you to go out on the street for a week or so, and have nothing, and tell me that you're going to come back and do this without a real alternative to, I mean, you know, the way they say, you always can go to the shelters. That's a bunch of shabai. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of shabai, and you would, I mean, I really wouldn't want my dog to be in one of those shelters anyway, you know. It's subhuman, you know. Yeah.
Well, the way they treat, I think there just needs to be oversight. You don't have any way of approaching anyone to advocate for you. You call Willis Sparrow, or you call, what's the gentleman's name?
Colin Gibbons, maybe.
He's a state representative, and anyway, I'll think. These guys, they make these things, and they're looking for splashes in the news.
Well,
Mizuno.
I
embraced his effort there, and then found out it all was about was about John Mizuno showing how graceful he is in manipulating his political career. But when it came to speaking to Will Sparrow's son, having a job there overseeing these and all the problems there, he wouldn't speak out on it.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's a sick society that people, at the expense of people that are not successful and having problems, mental, whatever, that we would gather around to and circle around to see how we can use them, incorporate them into our lives to make us look better and elevate ourselves amongst our friends because we care, when in fact, you know, after the TVs are gone, you roll up the paper and you won't even be approached by these people.
Oh yeah,
So that's the way the game's played. But anyway, we can keep talking about it and until we turn blue. But the reality is, until everybody on the top start to adopt an understanding and a love for the people, that's what we're dealing with: human beings. We ain't dealing with money, human beings.
You know, I was, what's her name? Lori Sutaco. She's the administrator of the homeless programs in the state of Hawaii. Now, a couple of weeks ago, she was on the public radio saying, we can't have safe zones, because they're just too costly. I mean, they would, we'd have to have extra liability insurance and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then she said, on Maui, we tried it on Maui and we tried it on Kauai, and they just didn't work. And I called her and I said, Lori, listen, they're in Santa Barbara. They have dozens and dozens of these safe zones that are working very well. And why can they do that there in Santa Barbara, California, but they can't do it in Honolulu, Hawaii? And she says, well, you know, all that liability insurance would go way up. We'd have to provide bathrooms. We'd have to provide showers. We'd have to provide security. And I said, Lori, so you're saying that people at the bottom, homeless folks, aren't worth a little extra liability insurance, and a little extra this and that, another thing. And she says, well, you know, we just don't have the budget. You know, that's the thing they say.
Mm-hmm.
This woman couldn't. Her deal is, we'll get all these people into houses and into apartments. And I said, Lori, this has been going on for 30 plus years. And do you know how many people are on a waiting list for the low income housing in the state of Hawaii? Over 10,000 people on the waiting list. There's 600 units that come available every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's about another 600 that are just sit vacant because they don't have funding to fix them up so they can mm-hmm. rent them again, or they can. She says, well, we're working on it, you know. Mm-hmm. You're working on it. And so what, maybe about 100 units from now?
They're not working on it.
No.
They're working at it, and what they're doing. if just look at the way these things are layered, and the people, they have counselors and case managers and all of that. And then at the end of the day, you go to bed. You come in at, I guess they allow you to come in at 5?
Yeah, 5:30.
And then from 5, you're under their care, but from 8 o'clock in most of these shelters, you got to be out and out on the street looking for a tree to get under or something.
Whatever, yeah.
Maybe we'll allow 12 hours in their case managing, but after that, you know, hey, man, they got to go and have these parties, and buy these fancy rings and watches and look good. And, you know, it one day it'll end. I think we'll all come to our senses and realize that at the end of the day, it's human beings, not dead presidents. It's about human beings.
And, oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And when you care more for dead presidents than you do about living humans and living entities, then something's wrong. You're the one that needs to be put in the asylum, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we should see half of them out there having to urinate in a pot or a jug for a day and let them feel how it is. Let them be at the lowest level of life thinking that, you know,
oh, yeah, not a day. I'd say at least a couple of weeks or a month.
Yeah,
you know, let them with nothing. All you have is the clothes on your back. Matter of fact, even half of those will be stripped by.
Well, I would tell you, I was reading that over again, that thing about the feces, and I thought, some of these bureaucrats will get rich because they're full of it, you know.
Well, oh dear. I'm not going to go there.
Neither am I.
But
you get my point.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, it's just so frustrating because this Lori Chistocco, she'll sit there and kind of listen, but there again, she really doesn't hear. She listens, but she doesn't hear. She doesn't grasp onto it. And I'm still working on her because I mean, she seems to be a good lady, but she doesn't. I want her to change her thinking on this because
Now come on, Dave. You're asking a lion and a zebra and a leopard to change their spots and stripes. Come on.
Because this lady, she has the legislators don't listen to people like that.
Dave, but, you're taking too much of that medical marijuana.
I guess so. Well, sometimes you almost need that just to be sane.
These people, they're not going to change the spots until people, the responsible, like the governor, stands up and make a declaration. People first, human beings.
Well, you know, if I knew a way to really get homeless folks organized, then that's really a hard thing to do.
Because, right.
I mean, most of them don't even have a cell phone. And, I mean, trying to organize them. So we could have a really big rally down in the Capitol. Actually, what we need, here's my fantasy, but they're in L.A. They have this outfit that makes rolling tents. Mm-hmm. Tents on wheels. Mm-hmm. And what I have, maybe about 50, 60 of these tents all around the Capitol. And we're going to stay there until they really get serious about solving the problem for homeless folks. So we'll take our rolling tent and move on another 20 feet. And we just keep on going around the Capitol building until they really face the problem, you know.
Yeah. You know what would really be poetic justice or just fair? I think I saw Mufi Hanuman the other day down at the diabetes walk or run or whatever.
And oh, he was boy.
You know, and I was thinking, you know, if a guy wants to redeem himself or just put a new spin on his image and presentation to the public, get out there, because he was instrumental in creating more havoc and problems for the homeless, you know, under his administration.
Sure.
He herded more people into these situations than anyone that I know of
from
a legislator or from a government official, because if the bus benches were, we'll modify them and we'll make little round stones so it
keep out of the rain.
All of that, right? Your father. So anyway, I'm going to close this one off and we'll talk again.
Bless you for bringing this up every once in a while. It has to be change the mindset. You know what has to happen is people have to get out of these stereotypes. Homeless people become are demonized as less than human beings, and they're all a bunch of crackheads and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? I've met many of the folks like at the shelter, and if you know the kind of traumas they went through in their life. I don't even blame them for drowning their pain in alcohol. If I had to go down through some of the trauma some of these folks would do, I'm sure I'd be doing the same thing, you know?
A lot of the legislators got their problems. A lot of the legislators have children and relatives that are on drugs and what have you. And a lot of legislators themselves are, politicians are substance abusers. You take Kalani English. I mean, he had his problems with cocaine and whatever. But you see, there was a safety net for him because, you know, he's one of the club. You follow?
This whole thing is
it's painful because you have people that know they have relatives. They know the reality. They know the hardship. But they turn their backs and show up in the newspaper smiling with a
heart. Oh, yeah. Well, those three-piece suits. I love that metaphor, the three-piece suit. And the grilled shrimp and the jet paint. I mean, that is a metaphor.
Yeah, the image of homelessness, a three-piece suit and a barbecue shrimp with a champagne glass. That should be the new, you know, smiling. I'm the COO. Of the, you know.
Something is wrong.
Go invent something. Go develop some software. Do something. Manufacture something. Then call yourself the COO. But don't gravitate or rise above the crowd and then pin your name and show up in the newspapers being the savior and you're feeding people month-old meat that have expired. Come on. It's not COO.
But anyway. Have a good day.
All right, my friend. You take care.
Okay.
It's unfortunate. All we got is to give time to the subject. I wished I had more to give, but that's the way it is. And so each of you out there, it's okay to care and hand out something and allow the government to spend tax dollars. I can tell you they waste more money on nonsense and friendships and second hiring and whatever than we put at, can even come close to spending on homelessness. But we'll talk later on that in the coming weeks and months. But there's another topic in the newspaper about the bottle bill that the Abercrombie administration. So if you go to carolcox.com, you'll see we've posted some pictures up there. This is a situation, you know, when the glass, they recycle the glass. I got to step back and say when I use the term recycle, I'm just using it because that's the first word. There is no recycling per se, okay, in the sense. So back in, if take you back about 2007, 2006, 2007, there was this mounds and mounds of tons and tons. And remember now, glass is dense, and so it's when you talk about and then when it's been crushed, it's even the weight is a little bit different. So it's when you see 10 cubic yards, it could be the amount that can be hauled on a truck would pop the axle, so you don't put as much. But this glass was crushed and it found its way dumped out in the fields out by the Star Advertiser, at that time the Advertiser building in Kapolei. So I go out there and find it and I recognize it. So I'm concerned right there. This is 2007. 2003, they stopped using the lead foil, start to wind down on the lead foil on wine bottles. In that lead foil, the lead, if it's ground up and all, and there's concerns for leaching into the soil and what have you. And then the silica sand. So this is, imagine if you crush it and grind it, you either have in cullets or grind a shards of glass. And we're talking about mounds of it, maybe 4, 5, 6 feet tall, depending on how much they dump. And so this material was going to be used out in under the Advertiser building as it was being built. And you were going to use it like bedding put it, dig a trench, put it down, and then lay the pipes on it, and then it would be covered, so the chance of it leaching and what have you. So they got the state health department to agree and allow them to do that. Well, they decided they weren't going to use it. So, anyway, I filed a complaint, and so they made them move it. But they moved it to Wheeler, up around Wheeler Army Base, Air Force Base, Air Base. Across the street there is Sandwich Isle Communication. As you're leaving Miller Line and going toward Wahiawa on Cam Highway. And they left it sitting there for a while, so I go and I file another complaint because the concern is this material, again, has the same environmental implications that we have over there at the Star Advertiser building. So they tell them, okay, well, what we'll do, we'll, they proposed, and this is per Steve Chang, the head of Solid Waste Branch, they propose to take this glass and mix it with dirt and then spread it and bury it because that would create percolation, enhance the percolating factor of it because of the type of soil that water would pool and makes it muddy. And well, they didn't, you know, apparently they didn't follow that rule either. And I put in a request for the documents because in that bottle bill, that whole program, most of the people that were with the original bill are gone. So there's a skeleton crew of one person maybe that remained. So what I found now, instead of they said, well, okay, we want to use it in potting and as potting mix, put plants in it and decorative. Well, apparently they decide to operate outside of that and actually dump the material, dump the glass over a wide area and left it on the surface. So now all of that silica glass or silica, we'll call it silica sand, is just sitting there waving in the wind. So as you drive by that Sandwich Isle, leaving Mililani on the right-hand side and Wheeler's on the left, there's an open field. As you drive by, you might get a whiff of silica sand, a glass, shards of glass blowing. And it's been laying there for a while, so we're going to try and ask, I'm asking the state to take some legal action because, first of all, it shouldn't be done. And so when we talk about recycling, it really wasn't, it's not recycle. What they should do is require them to ship the glass off so that it could be used, remelted, done, whatever. But, and I don't mean, there's some proposed that we use the glass here for art. You don't have enough walls to hang the art on once you make it in this state. So it's a shibai, this whole program of doing glass. And also, one of the reasons what they don't tell you is that it's not all about recycling. It's about at the H power plant and the city burning these materials, and it clogs up and gums up and creates a problem for the city. So that's one of the reasons it was also the city had a vested interest in this. So this bottle bill, there is no benefit to you and I, none. It's saving us nothing. It's saving no environmental. It's nothing. It's just a 10,000-pound gorilla tied around our neck now. That's all it is. And we're spending tax dollars, and the governor, and all that they're proposing is just sheer nonsense. The thing with bottles, we've been paying for it through costs or deferred costs and whatever. You and I pay for it ultimately. And we just have it now laying in the fields up at Wheeler. So that's the real problem, and hopefully the state take some legal action upon my request for filing a formal complaint. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. This is Chun James from Kahuku.
All righty. Hi, Chun. How are you?
Hi. I was told to call in that you had a question. A friend of mine called.
A friend of yours is a friend of mine. You know that.
Yeah, we're all friends, aren't we?
Well, I was trying to reach out and get some update on what was happening in the Kola Loa sustainability program, or the unsustainable program, if you would. I was talking about bottle bills, but you called me. I finished up. But go ahead. Can you share with us what is happening, or what's the status of that?
Okay. As you will recall, when Mufi Hanneman was the mayor, he was working on trying to update the sustainable plans throughout the whole island. Mm-hmm. And some of the plans were worked on by the PAC. There are eight areas on the island, and the Department of Planning and Permitting appointed some citizen groups to help them. And in our case, we had about 25 people on that PAC, that advisory group. And the same thing with the Ever side of it. But we were working on it for a while, and then we had about a year break because they said that they did not have sufficient budget to continue to hold meetings for the consultants. The unfortunate thing was that after the break, we got a quick call from DPP director, who was then David Tanoe, who has now since resigned and moved on to work for RM Towil. The PAC did not have the opportunity to discuss two very massive developments, and that was Envision Laie in the farmlands of Malay Kahana, and also the inclusion again of the expansion of Turtle Bay Resort. But anyhow, it was pushed through, and it is common sentiment that despite the PAC not having the opportunity to vet or to discuss it, it was pushed through by the DPP because Mufi Hanneman had, of course, the power to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we had a meeting at the Planning Commission at the Wynwood Community College on March 6th. And it was very interesting to watch Raymond Young of the DPP give the presentation. The impression that one gets is that he keeps saying that, well, there were no common consensus, and so we want to push it through because this plan has been planned to death, according to him. And obviously for the public who is not involved intimately, it might sound that way, but it really was not an accurate depiction of what went on. But he continues to say that, hey, there's no consensus. While on the other hand, he said that he received a lot of opposition testimonies and a lot of opposition through the email, but he was going to push through anyway. Those of us who have observed the city a long time, we know that it's not, you know, workers like Raymond Young who makes the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though he says that, well, we're going to push it through because there's no consensus, and so because there's no consensus, we just inserted the two big projects, you know, with unilaterally without giving the PAC a chance to further discuss it. So we know that the process is very flawed, and the process is actually very autocratic. prophetic, even though on paper there were 25 advisory group there that is supposedly giving suggestions and insights.
Mm-hmm.
But this, for those, for your listeners, this is a very big issue, because the fundamental question is whether we want to turn the Ko'olau Loa and North Shore into Mililani or Kaneohe, because this is the very last stretch of country that Oahu has. And it's such a tourist attraction, and of course it's a lifestyle that many people have chosen to have, and so they come and live here. They choose to live in Ka'aava or Punalu'u because that's the lifestyle that they want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting point to watch, because we are basically very disappointed in the Department of Planning and Permitting.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that it is more Department of Permitting and Permitting.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the Caldwell administration? Have they chimed in on this, or was he acting mayor at one time?
He was acting mayor at the time that the two massive projects were inserted.
Mm-hmm.
As you will recall, during the race for mayor, Kurt Caldwell has always promised that, well, we need to build the rail so that we can keep the country. So I believe that this plan is an opportunity for him to walk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, he has always said that, well, let's build a rail so that we can concentrate the urbanization and the along the rail corridor, and let's just concentrate a lot of development in the urban core in order to keep the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other groups who say that too. So we're expecting them to show up and defend their rationale to do that, because this is happening right now. We have been saying all along that even though that has been the campaign promises, that it sounds good, but in reality, it's not happening, because we do have these two massive projects that
mm-hmm.
are coming up,
mm-hmm. and they're addressing their sewage and all of that. What in the traffic? Those were some of the issues. Have they moved forward on that, or given a solid answer, or any real good addressment?
Turtle Bay had a few sewage spills, but there have not been a lot of media coverage on that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, those of us who live here and those of you who visit us, as you start from Kahalu'u by the hygienic store,
mm-hmm.
You turn into this lovely vista of seeing the Ko'olau Loa and the Chinaman's Hat. And what we have, even though it's called Cam Highway, is really a two-lane country road.
Mm-hmm.
And that two-lane country road cannot be maxed out further, because on one side of the road, the ocean is eating it alive. And along the whole Cam Highway from Kahalu'u to Hale'iwa, we have homes that line this road. And so there is no capacity to even extend unless the Department of Transportation wants to get rid of a lot of the homes along, because you would need to implement eminent domain to widen the road.
What is the governor doing on this? Is he condoning this, or the Land Use Commission having any say in this, or what?
It hasn't gone to the Land Use Commission yet. This first step is the Planning Commission, and that if they push it out, it will go to City Council hearings. But again, you know, Turtle Bay Resort has said that, you know, they wanted only two hotels. But if you read the fine print in the Supplemental Environmental Impact Study, the SEIS, the fine print says that those two hotels could be used as timeshare or luxury condos depending on market trends. We think that that is a very disingenuous promotion for Turtle Bay. They keep on saying that, well, the hotels is going to provide jobs and jobs and jobs. But timeshares and luxury condos, as United 5 leader Gary Gill, Eric Gill would say, that timeshares and luxury condos do not equal to hotel jobs. So there's a lot of fine print that the public needs to see. Because the social media is very interesting. They keep asking their clients to repeat the same old tired slogans out there. For example, one of the slogans that was brought up at the Planning Commission hearing by Envision Lightyear officials was that, hey, it's no big deal for us to use the state farmlands in Malaikahana, because 94 to 95% of this area is conservation and preservation, so we're using very little bit of it.
Can but you hold? Maybe I think someone's calling with a question, Sam. You would want to hold for a minute? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Well, they hung up. I guess they were. Go ahead, Chun. And we're coming down to some.
Yeah, but that's a very disingenuous statement. Because anybody who knows the Ko'ola Loa area knows that pretty much we are essentially the Ko'ola Loa mountain range. You know, there is really not many flat land. So the Ko'ola Loa is really nothing but a huge Ko'ola Loa Ridge range with little pockets of flat land for communities like Kahalu'u, Waikane, Punalu'u, Ka'ava, Ha'ula, La'ie, Kahuku. So to use that phrase that 95% of it is conservation and preservation, so there's a lot to develop, it's really, really off. And besides, we are the watershed area. You know, conservation is very important for the whole island, because we essentially provide a lot of water resources, and the water here is pumped all the way to the west side of Oahu. So those are very important issues that the social consultant does not seem to understand, and so they just throw out all the slogans that on paper may sound good to those people who don't understand the area, but it's very disingenuous to do that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We're going to try, and I'll contact you guys. And if you want to come on the show, and there's a lot to be discussed on this, I'd like to just keep you updated and see what the city council is going to do. And You know, I even though Caldwell is in, I think it's, in my opinion, the same old business. I might be wrong, and so if you guys have information that would clear things up, I would love to have you come on.
Yeah, we would love to hear from him, and anyone who is interested can Google Defend Oahu Coalition for more information.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I'll put a link up at carolcox.com.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, and say hi to all you guys out there.
All right. Aloha. Take care.
Aloha. Anyway, I was trying to get that. Good morning, Carl. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, Carol, I got a concern about, you know, the windward side coast and all around Oahu is that, you know, as the sea level rises, you know, the water is coming in and it's going to erode, like she said, the coastline and whatnot. And then eventually it's going to hit those homes on the highways over there and North Shore and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's my big concern is what is the state is going to do about the erosion effect of you know, global warming and the water levels just rising and, you know, just overtaking and whatnot. And concerned about the governor, what he did and whatnot with the homeless and everything. It's just like King Governor, you know, Abercrombie, and then he has his Commonwealth people down there, and then the homeless is just like the peasants. He's just feeding them those food and whatnot. You know,
well, we'll hold them accountable soon. There's an election coming, and hopefully we don't forget.
Well, I hope we get some good people in there that can run against them. That's the thing, you know, and they're for the people and not for themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, thank you, brother. Hello. All right. Good morning, Carl. You have a comment, a question, real quick.
Aloha, Carol. Thank you so much for your great show. Yeah, we're very concerned about the Kulaloa Sustainable Plan that people can get testimony at the Defend Oahu Coalition. You know, as you know, I mean, our side, this beautiful Turtle Bay and Kulaloa Ranch, all up and down this side are the film and TV jobs, the high-income jobs. Mm-hmm. And we want those for our kids. And, those would be the beautiful jobs we'd like. Well, and this idea that low-income hotel jobs is good is not
and auspicious.
Doesn't fly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking about it. In addition, all the sustain, you know, those low-income homes that they say are going to go in Nelikahana.
Right.
You know, our local community is being laid off right now. In Laie, and they're bringing in more and more people from mainland Asia International. Mm-hmm. So if you come out to Polynesian Cultural Center or Laie, you see a distinct change in who's coming in with this huge expansion of the BYU Hawaii, and it's not the local population.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge concern to us. So we'd like people to take a closer look at who actually benefits and who doesn't.
Okay, well, let's talk in the schedule of show. You come on, we talk in greater detail, if that's okay.
Thank you.
All right, aloha. Send me an email and let me know you're available.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All righty. Thank you guys for tuning in. And, I'm still working on this thing we talked about, Senator or Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa. I'm being told by one person who, now, I don't have all the facts, and I'm waiting for a receipt and all that they actually bought a $1,000 cake, or at least $500 cake for her wedding as a constituent and provided. And there are many other things. There's stories coming out now about the transport and dumping of 200 or more truckloads of dirt from her property or she and her husband's property, both at Colleen and Kai Point. So, again, just hold your horses, and that's what I'm working on. And we're looking at some other things that you might be interested in, but the fact is, the truth should prevail, and whoever they are, we'll tell the truth if we get it. Aloha, and I'll talk to you later next week. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.